We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
Yeah, I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
The following is a presentation of Learfield IMG College.
This is Doc Insider.
Give it to Verdell. He's got the first down and goal. Duck fans start celebrating. Oregon is the 2019 Pac-12 champion.
The 2020 Rose Bowl champion.
Richardson, another open three. Good.
Duarte dribbles
and slams with the right hand.
For the third time in the last 5 years, the Ducks are Pac-12 champions.
Champions and now Pac-12 tournament champions.
Welcome to Duck Insider.
We're just getting started.
This is Duck Insider on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Better banking, local solutions. Live from the Country Financial Studio, here's Joey Mack.
Thank you, and welcome to the second floor of the Casanova Center. We have a lot to get to today, including some congratulations for Joe Moorhead. That's right, the Oregon offensive coordinator has been named to the Broyles Award list. That's pretty cool. That honors the best assistant coach in Division I football. And I think Joe Moorhead certainly deserves that, as Oregon's offense has just been, over the course of the entire season, exceptional. Absolutely exceptional. Tyler Shuck's leading the conference in total offensive yards. Now, has it gone as well as the Ducks would like the last 2 weeks? No. And that's why they're back at practice today. Oregon, apparently a very upbeat practice. Rob Mosley mentioned that in his Quack Minute that you can find on the Oregon football social media pages. And, of course, Rob's daily practice reports on GoDucks.com. I think that the general consensus was that this team was ready to move forward and putting things behind them, which is always a good sign. So we have a lot to talk about today. Andy Avalos, Joe Moorhead, they talked to the media yesterday. We didn't get to their interviews on the show. We have those for you coming up. Also, men's basketball with their 23rd straight home victory and 23rd straight home opener that they won. That's coming up. We're going to talk to Dane Altman. And LJ Figueroa talked to the media for the first time, who has had two impressive games for the Ducks in his early Oregon career. And then, we also have Eugene Omorui. Omorui is a very, very, very good college basketball player. I've loved watching his game. So we have that for you coming up in just a little while. And then today, Hunter Kampmeyer and George Moore, they just finished wrapping up with the media. And Tyler Shuck, as we speak, is currently talking to the media here in the 1 o'clock hour. So we'll have those interviews for you coming up. That's your full show for today as we preview Ducks and Dogs. 1 o'clock on Fox. And an 11 a.m. pregame show for us across the Oregon Sports Network. Oregon Football Coaches Show coming up tomorrow night as well. Ken Wilson, 7 o'clock, will join Terry Johns and Mike Jorgensen. And then I'm going to sit down with Verone McKinley tomorrow, record it for the show, and then go to Matthew Knight Arena and get ready to call an 8 a.m. basketball game against Florida A&M. And we'll actually have a network, what we call a network doubleheader, where we'll have the football coaches show, and then it'll go right into the men's basketball play-by-play with me at Matthew Knight Arena. It's going to be a lot of fun. So stick with us for that tomorrow starting at 7 o'clock, Oregon Football Coaches Show. You can watch it on the Oregon Football social media channels as well. And then we'll roll right into basketball at 8 o'clock. And similarly, with a 1 o'clock kickoff against the Dogs on Saturday, we also have Oregon basketball in Seattle taking on the Huskies on Saturday at 5 o'clock. I'll have the call for that coming up as well. We've got a lot of Huskies and beating Huskies. A lot of that this week. Before we hear from the Broyles Award finalist in Joe Moorhead, let's hear from Andy Avalos talking defense, some updates on some of the guys that are available, and how do you slow down this Washington offense? Coach Avalos talking about that, and also the strides that Oregon made in the run game. There's no doubt that Oregon improved in the run defense. Coach Avalos talked about that as well.
Andy, we talked a couple weeks ago about getting sub-packages in against the run. You certainly did that. What was your evaluation of your heavy defensive line package? Because whether it was Christian, Brandon, Keon, they all seemed to make some plays for you.
We made some strides in the run game, obviously, whether it be against the bigger personnel sets that they'd given us or, you know, the 11 personnel sets. Obviously, there's room to continue to grow, and the guys are excited to do that. Their care factor this last week about making these improvements that we've been talking about was extremely high. And so our conversations over the weekend, obviously after the game, we didn't get the outcome. We didn't meet the standard that we're always trying to achieve. So there's got to be continued growth. And, you know, we've got some personnel to be able to match certain personnel sets, and we've got to do a good job preparing those guys to do that and build off of what we did this last week with, you know, the base group, which that's what we've been in the last couple games versus the pro style as well.
Stick along those same lines, Andy. What have you seen just from the overall growth of Christian and Dorlis and Swinson? Because it seemed like against Cal, that was probably the most that they've played in a game to date.
Yeah, there's no question. We're at that point in the season too now where, you know, the freshmen, they've banked a lot of reps. They're getting the experience. They're getting better. And it allows us to keep everybody keep the play counts where we want them, and so that guys can stay fresh, they can do a better job of executing their assignments, playing with better fundamentals and technique, and finishing plays. We've spoken a lot about finishing plays, and so we've got to continue growing in that way, not only cleaning up our fundamentals and techniques at the line of scrimmage to create clear fits for the linebackers and the safeties behind, but obviously then how we finish those plays as well has been a big to-do.
Andy, how much different does Washington's offense look now that Peterson's retired, or is it similar to what he was doing?
You know, the pro style, still the pro style. You're going to get multiple sets out of, different personnels and things like that that you've got to be ready to align and adjust to. There are some similarities in terms of the pre-snap movement and the pre-snap formations and things like that that they get to. But it's a... It's going to be the best O-line that we faced all year, the best running back group. The tight ends are good blockers and very effective in the pass game, obviously. And so physical offense and there are a lot of similarities.
Andy, the defense of an incredible performance against Cal, limiting them to just a single yard of offense in the fourth quarter. What stood out the most to you from the defense this weekend?
Well, I mean, it really starts during the week, right? And we kind of talked about that already, is just the care factor and the mentality and the urgency that we prepared ourselves with. And, you know, we've got to continue on with that. That's the biggest thing. It's all about, you know, how you prepare, and that's where the separation is created. And so we've got to grow off of what we did last week, and there's room. Again, there's still plenty of room to improve, and we intend to do so.
Andy, what does it mean to have Drew back in the lineup? Because that group's been so tested these past 2 weeks, but not only for him to be back, but no one's playing a violin for you guys, I get it, but to be down so many guys at that position, but to then have Nate and Nick play the way they did, what does that say about the depth of that group that they were able to do that?
There's no question. The coaches did an unbelievable job getting the players, and everybody's going through it. To your point, James, everybody's going through that this year, and it's about having everybody ready every single week, and you never know when it's going to be your turn to step in and play. And those two young men did an unbelievable job. Obviously, Coach Wilson did a great job getting those guys ready to step in there. And the D-line, they stepped up as well, and they did a really good job in front of them, and we worked together. And so, you know, that's where we got to get going, you know, and stay on that track moving forward. Everybody's got to just do their piece of the puzzle to the best of their ability.
Yeah, Coach, Washington, slow starts last 2 weeks and come on like gangbusters. What has it been that you've seen that why they start so slowly, and how important is it to make sure you keep them that way too? And then finish strong, of course.
Well, they scored the most points in the second half out of anybody, you know, that we've seen and you know, throughout the conference. And so for whatever that is in the first half, they're more than capable. They're an explosive offense that obviously in the second half is proven that. And so, you know, for us, it's more about focusing on us and what we need to do through the course of the game. And obviously that's starting fast. And we did a better job of that, you know, this past week in finishing. And those have been our objectives that we need to focus on, and what we do in between, you know, how we finish a half, how we start a half, how we finish the game. And so obviously in the second half, they've done a tremendous job, and I'm sure they will be ready. You know, they will get themselves ready to start fast this week.
Andy, from the untrained eye, it seemed like your corners were playing a bit more press coverage against Cal with a few more blitz packages. Was that just a Cal thing, or are you kind of turning those guys loose a bit more as the season progresses here?
Well, we're trying to, you much like we do in the front and within coverage windows, you know, trying to constantly change the windows and make the quarterbacks react. And, you know, we can't always present the same windows within the coverage, whether it be in the interior or on, you know, the outsides. And so we feel very strong about our corners and being able to do that, being able to switch up their techniques. And again, just like we spoke about the D tackles, as we grow through the season, you know, those corners being able to mix up the techniques and the effectiveness, more importantly, of which they execute those on the outside is where we got to grow.
Cal's second quarter drive, the 10-minute drive, how do you refocus the defense when you stop them three times on bring up fourth down, but three penalties give them a new set of downs?
And that's what it is focus, right? Right, Kevin, that's 100% of what, you know, it's not only the X's and O's, but it's our focus, it's our mentality. And again, that's an area that we've been striving to grow in. And really, again, it's about our focus and how we operate during the snap and obviously after the snap. Things are going to happen in a football game. Some of it's X's and O's, as we've spoken about. Some of it is not related to X's and O's. We've got to do a great job managing how we're operating and where our focus is. And that's really, I mean, that's us too, as coaches. It's not just the players, it's us as well. It starts with me.
And they hit crossing routes against the inside linebacker each of the last 2 weeks. I realize there's some, you know, zones going to happen and whatnot, but are there commonalities? Are there things that maybe Cal picked up on from OSU that they saw maybe they were going to create that matchup? Or is that just, you got to tip your hat to them and say, all right, they just had the right play call? Or is there ways to avoid that?
You know what, James, you're a pro style offense, right? So you're going to see some of these common routes from the pro style offense based off of the run action, the play action pass, right? So we've gotten hit last couple of weeks on a couple of those, and we're going to work diligently this week to make sure that we are in better position and that we can do a better job on those routes.
Yeah, Coach, just to add to the question about how Washington finishes fast, does that mean that in the first half, or they make second half adjustments at halftime? Have you seen them do a lot of things different that they, in order to have some success in the second half, or they just execute better?
You know, I think it's a little bit of a combination there. You know, I think the execution has been on point. And obviously this is a team sport too. And so momentum is gained from, you know, special teams, defense and all that stuff. So for us, you know, our focus in making sure that whoever we are playing, you know, that's one area for us to grow as well as a team and to create momentum for ourselves, you know, in all facets of the game. And I think that's something that they've done, you know, in the second half, you know, as a whole team. And offensively, obviously for them to put up as many points as they have in the second half, they've done a tremendous job executing with some adjustments in the second half, but the majority of it is really good execution.
That's Andy Avalos, the Oregon defensive coordinator, meeting with the media, talking about this Washington offense led by Dylan Morris. And they've really got a lot of experience back. And I think that Morris, as a redshirt freshman, has done a nice job at that quarterback position. But you heard it there. They were talking about how Washington kind of comes storming back in the second half. And meanwhile, Oregon has, I think, regressed in the second half of games this season. That's honestly maybe the biggest storyline for me to watch. And it's one of those things that's like you see it. What causes it? That's going to be, I think, a focus heading in to this week. Every assistant coach interview this year brought to you by the Willamette Valley Cancer Institute and Research Center. Fight like a duck with cancer care you can count on. Up next, the Broyles Award finalist in Joe Moorhead. Going to hear from the Oregon offensive coordinator right after this on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
From the weight room to the classroom, on the field and off it, OnPoint proudly supports University of Oregon athletics because student athletes do so much more than bring us pride on game day. They bring our entire community together in Eugene and all across Oregon. So whether you're watching the game in the stadium, at home, or at your favorite local business, their success makes all of us stronger. OnPoint Community Credit Union. Join in. OnPointCU.com. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing opportunity.
As my family continued to grow, I realized I'd have to replace my beloved Jeep with something that has, well, more seats. I'm Jason Hines, Country Financial Rep and father of seven. Whether you're upgrading from your sporty ride with no room for a car seat or finally replacing your well-loved beater that still has a cassette player, you'll want the right protection for your new car. Work with a Country Financial Rep like me and get the protection you need at a price you can afford. Learn more at TakeSimpleSteps.com or contact a local country representative.
Don't go anywhere. Duck Insider continues after these messages on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. Learfield IMG College.
Most of my family, they never graduated high school, so I'm trying to break that barrier.
My daughter, Brooklyn, was also a motivation for me to go back to school.
Every day after work, went straight to school, and it paid off.
At age 26, Kareem finished his high school diploma.
I could not have done it alone. I see the future is really bright for me.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Back on Duck Insider, presented by OnPoint Community Credit Union. Joey Mack here with you, and it's time to hear from Joe Moorhead, the Oregon offensive coordinators. We have tons of interviews today. Going to hear from the coordinators today and then talk a little bit about the men's basketball opener. And Tyler Shuck actually just wrapped up talking to the media. We'll do our best to get that for you today, get it into our system, but might not happen today. But it definitely will happen tomorrow. We're also going to hear from Dane Altman, LJ Figueroa, Eugene Marui after that win last night for the Ducks. Pretty good, solid Eastern Washington team, and Oregon pulled away in the second half. Pretty nice performance by Oregon men's basketball. They're now 2-1 on the season. Joe Moorhead talking with the media, up for the Broyles Award, the best assistant coach in college football, and he certainly deserves that with the way that Oregon's offense has been clicking. And look, I know the offense has not performed as well as it would like over the last couple weeks, but still in totality, it's probably the best offense in the conference. Joe Moorhead talking about that and this Husky defense with the media.
Joe, other than the ball going elsewhere on the two fumbles, either to hand it off to Travis or throw in a different route or something, what are the coaching points and correction points there? Because those plays happen so quickly to Tyler and Johnny that it just seems very hard for that to go back and say, oh, you could have, should have done this when a linebacker hits Johnny so fast. What are the coaching points there to correct that, to prevent that from happening?
Yeah, sometimes, I mean, you obviously have to credit the other team for making a good play. You know, Tyler spun and the guy come in and punched the ball out, and kind of the same thing happened with Johnny. But, you know, we work on ball security every single day at the beginning of practice. Obviously, I and we have got to do a better job making that a focal point during the course of practice, so our ball security and decision-making are better. And, yeah, two definitely negative plays adversely affected the outcome. And but you know, on the other side, both of their kids made pretty good plays on those.
Mario was just on here saying that Washington's defense has wrecked some games with their edge players. How would you kind of describe the challenge that the offensive line and Tyler have this week just to be on point with that pressure?
Yeah, incredible size and strength on their interior two guys. And then you look at 58 and 55, two kind of different styles of player. Pretty sure 58 leads the country in sacks, I believe, and 55 is just a very strong, a powerful guy. As you mentioned, but both can't allow the game records to wreck the game, and both of those guys have potential to do that. So our tackles, our backs, our tight ends, you know, our quarterbacks, we got to be on point and making sure we're sound with our protections and protecting well and throwing on time.
I don't know if it was just pure read or if it was by design, but Tyler had much more effectiveness running the football against Cal than the previous two games. I guess just how has he progressed in reading on the RPOs and the zone reads and whatnot?
He's doing well. And, you know, as we discussed last week, a lot of his carries are contingent upon what the person he's reading does. And Cal made the decision a lot of times to bend the end to try to tackle the ball carrier. So that gave Tyler a pool read, and he was able to generate, I think, 50-some yards maybe rushing. So he did a real good job there. We've just got to make sure, kind of as we talk about the parameters of the quarterback reading the play, some are aggressive give or some are aggressive pull, just in case the read is gray. So we just want to make sure that he's doing a good job, you know, kind of not forcing the pull, I guess, for lack of a better term. But I think he's made progress. I think he may have forced a couple pull reads there that ended up – there's actually a third phase to it, you know, the ones that go to the tight end or to red. But I think for the most part he's grown in his decision-making and did a pretty solid job in the game.
Yes, we talked about the running success for Tyler, but passing, I think, in the second half probably his worst half so far this year. What did you see on film there, and what kind of things do you guys need to correct this week before you face Washington, and what is a really good secondary?
Yeah, he had a pretty solid first half. I think it was 7 for 11, I think, for 171 there. And then, you know, I point to first some of myself. I got to make sure I'm doing a good job calling the plays or putting him in position to be successful. And hopefully we're doing that a high percentage of the time. And then when we do that, it's going to be incumbent upon us to protect, to run routes and get open, and for the quarterback to make the right read and throw the ball. You know, I think there were some times during the course of the game maybe – he got off of his footwork and maybe got his eyes down on the rush, and that led to a couple errant throws. But, you know, he's just got to fall back on his preparation and his knowledge of the offense and his fundamentals and technique. And, you know, he's a young quarterback, fairly certain he leads the league in yards, touchdowns, efficiency, and total offense. And, took a little minor step back in the second half as a first-year starter in a new offense. So that happens. We don't like it. We acknowledge it. We take ownership, but he'll get better from it.
So you talk about trying to prevent the game wreckers. Obviously, Good was able to do so last week. He was unblocked on, I think, three of the 3.5 tackles for loss. I realize some is on purpose, some is a missed assignment, but are there things to clean up and correct there in terms of edge guys? And did not having Devin last week come back to haunt you a little bit, and having him back will help you, particularly on that, I think it was the 3rd and 1, where maybe it could have helped you if he was there, kind of thing.
Yeah, I think the first part is on a couple of those, we had some missed assignments. So, he wasn't intentionally cut loose on some of those short yardage ones, and we got to get a couple of those things cleaned up. And then I think the other one that he made was on a read that Tyler should have handed off. Those were certainly a very talented and, effective player who had a good game. And then, Devin coming off of back-to-back 100-yard games, you know, really a you know, a threat on the back end to stretch the defense vertically. And, you know, getting them back this week, hopefully will you know, benefit the receiving core and our pass game.
Joe, in a year where a lot of teams are just struggling to try and get to the finish line of this thing here, how good, nice is it for you guys to have the motivation of still playing for hardware at the, despite a couple back-to-back losses?
Yeah, I think Coach Cristobal does an unbelievable job keeping our guys myopic, you know, having a great singleness of purpose for what we do. And we talk about a 1-0 approach every week. So hopefully our level of preparation or performance doesn't vacillate based on the magnitude of the game. So I think that's incredibly important from a cultural standpoint. But when you take that aside and understand that, you know, this game is for an opportunity to continue to extend the season, I think our kids are acutely aware of that. I think they understand who the opponent is. And any time in 22 years where you're playing in the latter stages of the season with the opportunity to play more, it makes it a little more special.
Travis is averaging 40 yards per reception. Just how is he so effective there? And with only five catches, like when do you choose to like scheme something up and be able to use that?
You said 40 yards a reception?
40 yards per reception for Dye.
Pretty cool. Yeah. Obviously he's got a very unique skill set for a running back. You know what I mean? He's able to, you know, run between the tackles and make people miss in space, but he's also does some things that a slot receiver would do. So I think you just want to be judicious and smart. We are not asking him to do too much, but also taking advantage of opportunities where you could get him matched up in single coverage, where he could beat maybe a linebacker one-on-one, or where you can, you know, put a team in conflict with a certain zone coverage and get a two-on-one on a safety like we did on that long one that was called back on a penalty. So, yeah, definitely plays with a lot of passion, great kid, very positive mindset, and has been an incredibly valuable asset for the offense this year.
Yeah, Coach, the question I get asked most frequently is why on fourth and short, you're fourth and one, third and one, crucial plays, we run CJ, and it's not a knock on CJ, up the middle instead of play action pass or something different, because it seems, I don't know the exact percentages, but it seems last year and this year, we just get stuffed so often. And that's a question I get asked, so I'd like you to respond.
Yeah. You know, we sit down during the course of the week and certainly game plan our short yardage and goal line package. I think we looked at our third and short conversion percentage this year, and I think we're 6-for-9, I believe, is what it was. And you kind of want to be in the 80% for that. Or higher. But, you know, it's really what we do is really contingent upon what we see from the defense. And I don't know, in like third and short situations where you want to necessarily be running sideline to sideline, you'd like to be able to get downhill and get a push on the interior of the line. And then you're really taking a calculated risk with the nakeds. We really do those more on the goal line than we do in third and short. But I guess to answer your question, you want to have confidence in the interior offensive line to get a push. You want to get the ball handed off to the tailback going downhill with full head of steam. And you hope that you're able to, you know, create a push at the line of scrimmage. And then when the opportunities call for some sort of misdirection or a, like a naked pass, you know, we've been able to utilize those more on the goal line. And I think you look at the Washington State game, I think we ran a couple of nakeds where we hit Johnny and Chris Hudson on the flat. I think those were third and shorts or fourth and shorts. So it's really all game plan predicated.
Joe, Jalen Redd, obviously a very unique weapon for this offense. Talk a little bit about kind of his effectiveness and what you've seen from him this season.
Yeah, I think Coach BMAC does an awesome job with Jay Redd and with the rest of the guys. But he's a fun kid to coach. Comes out to the field every day with a great attitude. Practices 100 miles an hour, you know, and you can tell it really means a lot to him. And then kind of like Travis, kind of look at them as kind of similarly skilled, that you're able to use Jay Redd as a receiver in a slot. You're able to get him on some speed sweep stuff where he could do some running back type of things and, you know, and create some mismatches. So, you know, he like I said, he's been another guy that's been a very valuable asset to us just because he's able to do a bunch of different things successfully.
Joe, how does Tyler, have you seen him handle either his own self-criticism or the criticism he's received from the outside? Because you mentioned and rattle off all the stats and they're there, but it seems like a lot of people on the outside seem to have amnesia about how good he's been, you know, and then they go and they see 1 of 7 and then they're ready to pull the plug and see if there's something else that can be done as opposed to
this is a guy who's been so productive for a long, you know, sample size, that one of seven may not be the end of the world kind of thing, particularly on third and longs. How does he handle, how has he handled the criticism internally and externally?
Yeah, I'm honestly, I'm not too familiar with what the criticism has been for him. But as you mentioned, you know, he's a first-year starter in a new offense, and when you look at the numbers, I think he's been, like I said, had a very positive season thus far, but is also very aware that he didn't have a good half, and we met and talked about those things, and the number one is to take ownership and accountability and responsibility for the things you didn't do well, and he understands that, didn't try to deflect it, didn't try to point it off on someone else, and, you know, we talked about that being part of the quarterback position, but, you know, quarterback like coach, you assume you get probably more of the praise you deserve when you do well, and you get more of the blame when things go poorly, and that's just part of it. And as a coach and as a quarterback, you got to have thick skin, you got to be resilient. But I don't think either offensively or as a team we're in a position to be doing any of the things that we have so far this season without his performance. And that doesn't mean he's where he needs to be. He's got a lot of work to go, but I mean, he's working hard. I think he's performed. He didn't have a very good half, and he'll learn from it and improve.
Just as someone who spent the vast majority of your coaching career on the East Coast, now that you have just about a full Pac-12 season under your belt, what's been your biggest takeaway from just the new conference, from whether it's film study or just whatever?
I think my biggest takeaway has been the parity. So far in five games, you look at the defenses and you look at, you know, the kind of the teams as a whole that, you know, there's a, I don't want to say a level playing field, but you're seeing talented teams, you know, week in and week out, that if you're not on your best and not on your A game relative to your preparation and how hard you play and how well you execute, that anybody can knock off anybody. So I think that's been the biggest takeaway, that there's a lot of parity and a lot of similarly skilled teams.
I thought that was super interesting to hear that from Coach Moorhead. That was Tyson Alger from The Athletic who asked that question. And, I mean, coming from the Big Ten, the SEC, and out of the Pac-12, I thought that was super interesting for Joe Moorhead to say, yeah, the parity is what has surprised me the most. And that's been his biggest takeaway. I mean, we all knew that, right? Like, West Coast people, we all knew that. But hearing him say it, it's like, oh, yeah, it makes sense. Andy Avalos and Joe Moorhead previewing Ducks and Dogs coming up at 1 o'clock on Fox on Saturday, 11 a.m. pregame show right here on the Oregon Sports Network. Up next, men's basketball with a home opener victory. Also going to hear from Hunter Kantmoyer, George Moore, Tyler Shuck. We'll get to those interviews today and tomorrow. A lot of interviews on Duck Insider. Back after this on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
After 2 years of construction, my wife and I finally moved into our dream home. So when a bathtub fixture broke, causing major water damage, I was glad we had the home insurance protection we needed. How do you know your home is protected? Talk to a Country Financial rep like me, Nick Simon. We can help you understand your options and select coverages to meet your needs. Then if something happens to your home, you won't have any surprises. Need the right coverage for your home but not sure where to start? Visit TakeSimpleSteps.com or contact a local country representative.
This football season, prepare your taste buds for the most iconic sports-watching drink of all time, Pepsi. With refreshing deliciousness specially formulated to keep your eye on the ball and mouth-watering fizziness to help you power through game day, Pepsi has everything you need to start strong.
I used to care when Mike cheered so hard he spilled nacho cheese on my carpet, but thanks to Pepsi, even Mike can't ruin my football party.
So this football season, make Pepsi your go-to game day drink, because it's the only drink made for football watching. Pepsi, that's what I like.
Duck Insider, Duck Insider, Duck Insider continues after this timeout on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
When you went car shopping, you meant business. You aced vehicle history searches and test drives. You out-salesmaned the salesman. Now you've got your wheels. If you manage that, you can get your retirement plan on track. Visiting aceyourretirement.org can help. With 401k tips and smart savings strategies, you'll have the info you need to get more for your future. Go to aceyourretirement.org, because when it comes to speeding past financial challenges, you're an ace. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
GTG, BRB, OMW, be there in a few. You may think that these kinds of texts are fine because of their length, and you can easily send them at a stoplight. But no, answering one text can take your attention away from the road for 5 seconds. And traveling at 55 miles an hour, that's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Make good decisions, don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopRex.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Back on Duck Insider, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Joey Mack here with you, and time to take an Oregon Imaging Center's inside look at Oregon men's basketball's 23 straight home victories. Let's just think about. Look, I gotta tell you, first of all, it was eerie being in there. I was the top section 103, calling the game. First time I wasn't courtside at Matthew Knight Arena to call the game. Super weird. It was eerie being in there with no fans. And I felt like Coach Altman could hear every word I was saying. I don't think he did, but it felt that way, right? There was a little bit of piped-in crowd noise. That's the way that it's been working as we take inside Matthew Knight Arena. But 23 straight home wins. Ducks went undefeated at home last year. What an impressive performance. And fans, I mean, look, a lot of it's because of you. We all know that. It was weird not having you in there. It was super weird not having you in there. 69-52, Oregon outscoring Eastern Washington significantly in the second half. In fact, the Ducks really out-rebounded the heck out of Eastern Washington in the second half, too. They were right neck and neck in rebounding at the first half, or in the first half, I should say, at the halftime mark. Ducks ended up plus 14. Plus 14 on the boards. And the Ducks outscored Eastern Washington 33-20 in the second half. The Ducks, an impressive performance with two different guys getting double-doubles. L.J. Figueroa did foul out, but he had 12 points and 10 rebounds. Eric Williams Jr. had 17 points and 10 rebounds. And Eugenio Marui continued to do some pretty big things, averaging over 20 points per game in his first three contests as a Duck, 18 points to lead all scorers in Oregon's 23rd straight home victory and 23rd straight home opener. 23 was the lucky number. Oregon Imaging Centers, your inside look. Choose quality, choose service, choose Oregon Imaging Centers. The choice is yours. Going to hear a little bit from Dane Altman, some of his thoughts post-game after the Ducks knocked off Eastern Washington and had to be good to be back at Matthew Knight Arena, huh, Coach Altman?
Well, we did some good things. Disappointed in our ball movement. A lot of defensive assignments. We were a plus 14 on the boards. I thought Eric and LJ really did a good job there. Like I said, the ball movement's got to improve. Our communication defensively has got to improve. We had a stretch there at about the 6-minute mark, 5-minute mark. We had a chance to put them away, and we had four bad turnovers, just guys leaving their feet, and just a really bad 3 or 4 possessions, and Eugene tries to throw one behind his back. We could have put ourselves in bad position there. I hope we learned something from that.
How about Eric Williams, Coach? That 17-point, 10-rebound performance, it just seems like he just plays so hard for you.
At times he really did. I liked his effort. Got in a little foul trouble the first half, but he did some good things. And, when he gets his feet set like that on threes and his balance, he's got a good follow-through. So that didn't surprise me when he hit shots. I thought he was – position.
We talked about it a little bit on the pregame show, Coach, just about how you would have to guard, and you held Eastern Washington to a pretty low 3-point shooting percentage. Were you happier with the way you guys defended the three in this contest?
Well, I thought they wore down a little bit, with the travel and that, and like I said, we had some communication mistakes that I thought we gave up way too easy of shots on. But they're a good team. They're an experienced team. They had all their players back. We knew we'd have a fight on our hands. Eugene gets some foul trouble the first half, and Eric gets some foul trouble, so we were a little thin there. But the guys, second half, again, the rebounding I thought was a big difference. If we went and turned it over, I thought we'd have had some pretty good possessions there and maybe pulled away a little earlier.
Danny, you mentioned the behind the back pass. It was sandwiched between a nice offensive possession for Eugene where he took on three defenders, faked them out, and got a bucket. He got a bucket after it. So what's the going rate in Kangaroo Court when you have two positives and a negative?
Well, like three positives, especially with one that I did see what he saw. There was LJ was on the baseline there, and I know what he was thinking. But at that point in the game, after we had had three guys leave their feet and turn it over, that just wasn't the right play. You know, in the course of a basketball game, it's like a quarterback who throws an interception or two in the next possession, he can't throw another one. I talk to our team all the time about runs, and you know, if we have a couple turnovers, we got to be a little more conservative. We got to get a shot, and that was the only thing that was disappointing about that. And I agree, made a couple of nice moves there that he was really a force. So again, we're a different team when he's playing well. We've got to get Dante playing so we get his size going. Chandler can give us better minutes. So we've got a lot of work to do there, but we should be making progress. And again, early, it's our third game, and I didn't expect it to be perfect, but we got to make improvement, you know, and a lot of new faces out there. You know, I looked out there, we had Jalen and Eric and Eugene and LJ, you know, we'd all new guys, you know, so we just got a lot of work to do. They're going to have to get more familiar with each other. And we've got a lot of organizational things to do, both on the defense and offensive end.
Yeah, Dana, when did you know that this game was going to take place? Did you guys come back from Omaha knowing that this was a possibility?
Oh, yeah. No. We thought we had it because they had gone to Arizona and everybody tested good. You know, you just kind of always calling everybody about how their testing's going. But we knew they played a Pac-12 school on Saturday, so we knew they had tested thoroughly through there. Number 55, their starting point guard from a year ago, was the only guy who didn't make that trip because he was still isolated. And he played a few minutes today. So they had their whole team, everybody tested. So after Saturday, you know, I probably felt 100% sure. On Friday, you know, it was still, could they get through the testing protocol? And so, no, we appreciate them making the effort to get here. This is tough times, you know, on everybody. And I think Eastern, you know, they're battlers. They're going to win. I think they're going to win their league. They got everybody back from a team that won it last year, except for one player. And they're going to be a lot to handle.
Yeah, I thought the same as Coach Altman, actually. When he was talking about this team pregame with me and then talking about them after the game, I was like, yeah, I think Eastern Washington is going to be really, really tough to beat in the Big Sky this year. And, you know, I will say, everybody, you heard some of that digitization in the audio. This is the world that we're in, unfortunately. We're all at the mercy of the internet connection. And that's the way, unfortunately, that it worked out. We're hoping to have that a little bit more, shall we say, solid as we move forward. Going to hear from LJ Figueroa, Eugene Omarui. I want to let you get to know those players a little bit because they're going to be two big parts of this Oregon basketball team. And the Ducks will play Florida A&M 8 o'clock tomorrow. Kind of a quick turnaround for the Ducks against their former assistant director of operations, Robert McCollum, who's now the head coach at Florida A&M. Yeah, that's coming up. We're going to hear a little bit more from LJ Figueroa, Eugene Omarui. Stick with us, Duck Insider. Presented by On Point Community Credit Union. We're back after this on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
From the weight room to the classroom, on the field and off it, On Point proudly supports University of Oregon athletics because student athletes do so much more than bring us pride on game day. They bring our entire community together in Eugene and all across Oregon. So whether you're watching the game in the stadium, at home, or at your favorite local business, their success makes all of us stronger. On Point Community Credit Union. Join in. OnPointCU.com. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing opportunity.
All it takes is one drop to make a wave. One beat to inspire a track. One spark to get creativity flowing. With every drop, LifeWater refreshes your mind and restores your body. Purified water, pH balanced with electrolytes for taste.
designed with original works of art on every bottle. Let us be your source of inspiration. Life Water, the feel-good water.
Duck Insider, your home for the latest news on Oregon athletics. This is the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College.
Hey, everyone, let's all stop what we're doing and take a moment. You see? Every moment can be kind of special. But they can be loud moments, goofy moments, dorky moments. It doesn't matter. Because every time dads like us take a moment like that to spend with our kids, well, it's pretty momentous. So let's take a moment to make a moment. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hello, it's me, the designer jeans in the back of your closet. What happened to us? I used to summer in the Hamptons, and now I'm stuck behind a pair of sweats. Okay, maybe I never really fit you right, but I got a lot more Sunday Fundays left in me. So take me to Goodwill, where I can really make a difference.
Your donations to Goodwill create jobs, training programs, and education assistance for people in your community. To find your nearest donation center, go to goodwill.org. Donate stuff. Create jobs. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, Duck Insider, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Joey Mack in the Country Financial Studio. You know, it was interesting that Tobias brought this up as we go back to football for just a moment. And I think he's right. Mariota, Herbert, Dixon made it real tough on incoming QBs. Standards so damn high. Lots of unrealistic expectations of Shuck out there. I'll throw a few others in there, too. I mean, Vernon Adams came in and did some amazing things as a one-year starter, right? I mean, there's been a number of guys that have set that standard high. And look, that's how it has to be. Yeah, that's how it should be. As Coach Cristobal said, you know, they don't lose a whole lot around here. Right? It has to be that way. The tradition has to be to keep winning. Yeah. But I think you're right, Tobias. I absolutely do. Hey, meanwhile, back to Oregon basketball. The Ducks are going to play Florida A&M at 8 o'clock on Wednesday at Matthew Knight Arena. You heard Coach Altman talk a little bit there. And then LJ Figueroa got eligible. NCAA gave him a waiver. In fact, we're talking with Chief Compliance Officer Jody Sykes about his waiver, what the process was like, some of the bumps in the process, if you will. Really great conversation that we're going to have with Jody Sykes coming up on Thursday. It's always a great conversation with Jody Sykes. And we talked about LJ Figueroa, and he talked to the media for the first time post-game last night.
LJ, just take us through for you what the last week of emotion has been like to wait as long as you did, 5+ months, not get cleared, get cleared, play a team who was your rival before and do pretty well and get a win there and now come out and get a double-double again tonight. What has the last 5 days been like for you?
I mean, I'll call it 2020, the whole year, you know, it's just been, you know, you just got to be ready for anything, you know. Coach always telling me every day, stay ready, you know. In practice, you know, I knew we were going to go through a lot of challenges and things, but, you know, I just stayed ready. You know, my name was called. I was finally cleared. I was, you know, my teammates were happy, and, you know, I was very energetic and ready to play.
When you tried, when you decided to transfer, I'm sure you had a lot of schools coming after you. Why did you settle on Oregon, and what did you see in this team to come here?
The coaches made me very family oriented. Chris Duarte, you know, I knew had knew Chris for a long time. You know, we practiced together with the Dominican national team. You know, it was just, you know, it was the perfect opportunity for me to come.
Yeah, LJ, I think you hit maybe your first three tonight, or at least you hit a couple. How much is the three-pointer part of your offensive game, and how would you describe yourself as an offensive player? Where are you the most threat?
I mean, I feel like I'm good at getting my teammates involved. I'm an all-around player. I can definitely shoot the three. You know, today was very strange. They were playing back off of me. You know, I'm not really used to guys playing back off of me. You know, they told me to shoot it, and I shot it, you know. I mean, like, if I'm open, I'm going to shoot the ball, you know. It's just a matter of time until I start seeing the ball go in and keep shooting.
LJ, you've been very active to start the season on the defensive end. What do you like about Coach Altman's zone?
You know, I like our versatility, you know. I feel like we're very well to run that zone, that 2-3. You know, a lot of guys, especially without fans, you know, it's so easy to talk and just be able to switch off guys. And, you know, certain lineups, you know, fit very well during the zone, and it's a part of my game. I like it.
Well, Jay, I think it's been a while since you've come off the bench. Now you've done it back-to-back games, and you're playing starter-like minutes. if the rotation's going to change a little bit and coach said he's not sure how to approach it just yet, can you run the true one? It's not a position you've done a lot of generally. I know obviously you distribute the ball very nicely, but is playing the true one something of comfort for you? Is that a little bit different being a guy brings the ball up all the time? Or?
You mean playing the point guard position? I mean, you know, I think like a point guard, you know, I try to get my teammates involved, you know, I wouldn't say I'm the guy bringing the ball up every possession, you know, but, you know, I could definitely release pressure from my other guards, you know, being a scoring threat and getting my teammates involved. And, you know, I'm very unselfish. My game is very unselfish. So, you know, I feel like I can do it.
Two games in a row, you guys have ended with a lineup of yourself, Chris, Eric, Eugene, and Jalen Terry, and no one's taller than 6'6", and you're almost all 6'6" as well. What makes it so effective on both ends of the floor for you guys?
I mean, we can all run, we can all shoot, we can all play 1 through 5 during those times. We can all run to different positions, and you know, it messes up the defense on the other team because you know, guys are all spot up in different places every possession. We're allowed to switch. We can trap ball screens and rotate quick and just, you know, be very versatile and do different things in the defense.
Well, Jay, this is a really young team, but it's also a really talented team. What's the ceiling for this squad, even though you're 3 games in? Where do you guys see yourself?
This team is one of the most talented teams I ever played on. You know, we got a lot of great shooters, a lot of great energetic players wanting to win. I mean, we come to practice every day, work hard, you know. You never know when our next game is going to be. So, you know, we come in every day just focused on trying to get better day by day.
Well, just to go back to the big picture, because you mentioned 2020, I think you played in the last game of last season at the Mecca. And now to go and start your next season, not only in a new place, but in empty buildings, how just completely different a world is this between how your last season ended and where and what the environment was to empty buildings this season? It's probably going to be that way for this season.
It's amazing. You know, I've played basketball all over the country. You know, I've played in different countries. You know, it's just amazing just to be able to play the game, you know, without fans. You know, it makes you be on the media a little more, you know, just to interact with the fans and just be able to see what's going on. Cause you know, you come into the game, it's like a pickup game, you know, whoever brings some more energy is going to come out with the win. So, you know, it's been great to be able to play the game, you know.
That's going to be so true. Whoever brings that energy has the bench energy. It is going to be like one of those close scrimmages that these basketball teams are used to. But that's how every game kind of feels, to be honest. That's LJ Figueroa. I wanted to let you hear from him for the first time. As you can see, I think as you can hear too, you're going to love watching that guy play. I mean, he's team guy. And the Ducks are glad to have him. Up next, how about Oregon's leading scorer, Eugene Omorui? We'll hear from him and talk a little bit of football as we wrap things up after this. Duck Insider presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Back to the Country Financial Studio next on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
As my family continued to grow, I realized I'd have to replace my beloved Jeep with something that has, well, more seats. I'm Jason Hines, Country Financial Rep and father of 7. Whether you're upgrading from your sporty ride with no room for a car seat or finally replacing your well-loved beater that still has a cassette player, you'll want the right protection for your new car. Work with a Country Financial Rep like me and get the protection you need at a price you can afford. Learn more at TakeSimpleSteps.com or contact a local Country representative.
From the weight room to the classroom, on the field and off it, On Point proudly supports University of Oregon athletics because student athletes do so much more than bring us pride on game day. They bring our entire community together in Eugene and all across Oregon. So whether you're watching the game in the stadium, at home, or at your favorite local business, their success makes all of us stronger. On Point Community Credit Union. Join in. OnPointCU.com. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing opportunity.
This is Duck Insider. Duck Insider on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
Okay, forest animals. Kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay. Squirrel!
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Long ago, you wouldn't think of galloping on a horse while doing calligraphy, and you wouldn't have attempted to ride your bike while typing a letter. Yet you think you can safely operate a multi-ton vehicle while texting? Behind the wheel is no place to multitask. If you want to BRB, drive now and text later. Lives depend on it.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back inside the Country Financial Studio. It's Duck Insider, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Jackson Food Stores, proud sponsor of the University of Oregon Ducks. Everything that you need for the big game at Jackson's, and go Ducks. Well, we heard from a couple different players today, and LJ Figueroa already. Eugene Omorui, Oregon's leading scorer so far, had 31-11 in his Duck debut. I'm telling you, Eugene Omorui, guys, he is the real deal. Very, very good basketball player. And he talked to the media for the first time postgame.
Yeah, Eugene, can you just maybe explain what this hot start for you has been like and the way you've performed after having to sit out last year and your injury? It's just kind of seeing the reward pay off.
Yeah, just me putting the work in the summertime and, you know, last year watching the guys play. Also watching Payne a lot, being confident in your game and just getting more mental instead of just going out there and just playing. Just thinking about the mental aspect of things. That really helped me. And talking to him and just picking his brain a bit, it really helped me for this year and just –
Yeah, Eugene, I know the announcers on the telecast said that you had said that the Ducks were your dream team at one point. Can you explain that a little bit, how satisfying it is to be here?
Yeah, from young, I never really played basketball till like ending in 10th grade. That's when I really took basketball serious. So, like, just watching basketball, I'd always be outside playing and come home late nights and the Ducks would be playing because the time difference. So it was just a team I always had high hopes on, and just also watching Dylan come from my neighborhood back in Toronto and then playing for the Ducks and doing such a good job. So then when I transferred, it was a no-brainer. When the Ducks approached me, it was a no-brainer. So, yeah, I knew I was coming here.
Gene, kind of take us through that sequence there in the second half when at one point you had three defenders crash on you. You faked one out and got a bucket. About two possessions later, the behind-the-back pass that Coach didn't like very much. And then I think the next one, you got another bucket. So just that sequence of a couple of minutes where there's some pretty nice highs and a little bit of a flub there.
Yeah, I seen LJ cut the rim. I tried to get him, but very bad decision on that. But just I got to keep it simple. They were reading the scout, and they were sending 3-4 guys at times. So just trying to find guys at times.
Yeah, Eugene, what's this season been like as a whole? Just kind of a whirlwind week for you guys? You really don't have a set schedule, it seems like. It just kind of, you grab a game when you can get a game. Is that difficult for the players?
I wouldn't say it's difficult. I feel like we've been locked in. We were practicing for so long because we thought we were just on the 25th. So just us knowing that and just having the chance to play basketball this year is a big thing. So anytime there's an opportunity to play someone, it's a big thing for us. We just always get happy. So it's been good so far.
Two games in a row you guys have ended with a lineup of yourself, Eric, LJ, Chris, and then Jalen Terry. What makes that group just so effective, you feel like, for your team? You've pulled away both times using that lineup late.
Just spacing. We all can move. We all can switch on every player. Like, spacing is the thing, is the key thing. That's the thing. That's all I see it as, spacing and just picking and shooting our spots.
I love the way that Eugene Omorui describes basketball. You know, just he knew the coach didn't love the behind-the-back pass, knew what he was looking for, but knew the coach didn't love the behind-the-back pass. But he also liked the fact that he has spacing on the floor. You know, I mean, those are the sorts of things that I hear him talk about, and I'm like, dude just gets it. You know, like, he just gets it, playing beyond his years. And I think that you can tell that he was with this team last year, right? Like, him redshirting, sure, he would have loved to play last year. Had to get his knee worked on too. But you can see that just working with Coach Altman already, being in that position that he's in, is really paying off for Eugene Omorui. And again, I know the audio was a little tough, but you can understand what he was saying. We're hoping as we move forward here,
within the athletic department that it's going to be a little bit easier for everybody to hear. Well, we didn't get to Hunter Campmoyer, George Moore, Tyler Shuck. They wrapped up talking to the media just before we went on the air today, and we just now have Tyler Shuck loaded in and ready to roll. So tomorrow you're going to hear from Hunter Campmoyer, George Moore, Tyler Shuck, and also Mario Cristobal is going to talk to the media tomorrow. So we'll have that for you. And then a collection of defensive players are going to talk to the media, and a full preview of Oregon basketball against Florida A&M at 8 o'clock tomorrow as well. And again, Oregon Football Coaches Show, 7 o'clock. Ken Wilson, Oregon linebackers coach, is going to join Terry Johns and Mike Jorgensen on the show. No pregame show for men's basketball, by the way. It's going to be a little weird. Officially an 8:06 tip-off, so right as Terry and Georgie wrap up the coach's show, we'll roll right into men's basketball. And again, Mario Cristobal tomorrow. Later this week, we got Jerry Allen, Mike Jorgensen making picks. Tony Castricone, the voice of the Huskies, is going to join the show. We'll get the view from the other side. Get ready for that 1 o'clock kickoff in Autzen Stadium. See you tomorrow.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT. G-O-A-T. Acronym. Stands for greatest of all time, as in spaghetti sandwiches for dinner. They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Man, do I love card night. You ready, boys? You got a king?
Go, Fish Dad!
Oh, come on! This is WWE superstar Titus O'Neil.
It only takes a moment to make a moment.
Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Tweens have mastered the art of tuning out. Jen, there's a spider in the car. We're turning your room into a home gym. See? Nothing. But some messages need to get through, like making sure they're buckled up the whole ride, every time. Do whatever it takes to make your child listen. Jen, I friended your boyfriend.
Wait, what?
Buckle up, sweetie.
Never give up until they buckle up. Learn more at safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
To buy your home, you became a house hunting ace. Learned about loans, scoured neighborhoods, and asked the right questions. Now you're queen of your castle. If you manage that, you can get your retirement plan on track. Visiting aceyourretirement.org can help. With 401k tips and smart saving strategies, you'll feel empowered to own your retirement like you own your home. Go to aceyourretirement.org. Because when it comes to clearing financial hurdles, you're an ace. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
You've been listening to Duck Insider on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College. Presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Better banking, local solutions. The preceding has been a Learfield, IMG College presentation of the Oregon Sports Network.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. Like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.